Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio. Independent, authentic and dedicated to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Bumper to Bumper. It's Friday night and I'm Ziad Plachis and with me is Brother Jamil Ismail. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil. How are you this evening?
Wa alaikum salam, Ziad. I'm doing so well.
Alhamdulillah. That's good to hear.
It's a nice time of the year where January is finally over.
We got through the longest month of the year.
It really felt that way. I mean, we got back to work halfway through Jan, but it just, those 2 weeks really, really dragged. Do you also feel that way?
I think this last week was like the most hectic week in the whole.
But did you have a productive week?
It was productive, but it was a strange week.
Mm-hmm. In what sense? In what sense?
Like it was load shedding, but I still got work done. Okay. It was like, you know, like it was strange.
Right.
I think it was also, it's very long days. So if you wake up the time that I wake up in the morning, you have quite a long
Please
day.
Please tell the listeners about your days. At what time do you wake up? What is your day like?
So I wake up with the Ajr.
Okay. Every day.
Okay. And then obviously I'm on the mat till Fajr, and then after Fajr I start. So I do the actual after Fajr grind. It's not just the hashtag that we use. And then, yeah, so, and my son is up at the same time. So we start school then, because I'm homeschooling. So
you homeschool your son.
Yeah.
And you basically, you run your own business.
Yeah.
And you are a teacher to your son.
Yes.
What is that like?
I enjoy it because I get to see his progress. You know, I get to teach him. So I can teach him what's right and what's wrong.
So you like the control over it, right?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, I'm learning things as I've done now, grade 1, 2, and 3 again.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, there's things that we didn't learn in those grades.
Yes.
And obviously stuff that we didn't learn at all because there's so much new information. But, yeah. It's not for everyone, but I enjoy it.
So what time do you call it a night? Like straight after Isha, you're done, right? I'm guessing there's no more batteries left. Right?
Sometimes I stay up after Isha.
Okay.
Depending on if I have like stuff like, you know, like if I have reviews and I need to edit the videos and stuff, I have quite a big backlog.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get through that. So I watch that, the videos and stuff in that downtime, edit it and on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a long day.
Very long day.
But I actually, okay, so I'm not a morning person at all. I'm not going to lie to you. But in terms of actual work, if I've had like a decent night's sleep, I find myself extremely productive. Maybe like 10 to 4, I'm productive. And after that, like my friends, it's just all day. I'm like, those kids, you know. So
sometimes I have a nap, you know, like after the work, I have like a 1-2 hour nap.
If
I can get it in, not every day. There are days that I'm not
telling me this. I'm just thinking about how nice it is to be honest. I mean, imagine having a nap daily. Because 2 hours is not a nap, that's a
super. But sometimes I just.
Yeah. And what are you driving at the moment?
At the moment, I have a Mahindra Scorpio M.
Okay. What engine on this?
It's a 2-engine, but it's
like
actually
1.4.
No, I think that engine is perfectly suited for that car, not for the CX-5. But for the CX-30, I think it's perfect.
Okay.
They did, when they did this update, the refresh, I know overseas they got a 2.5-liter engine, but they never made it to South Africa.
Right.
I don't know why.
Okay. So I think we should tell the listeners about the amazing road trip we did. It was a road trip, but a test, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a very simple task to take. Not an entry level, but like a mid-range, family, sporty, crossover slash SUV and see what they feel like, you know, and basically test it in a real world environment. Because let's face it, like a lot of times you get a vehicle and you test it, but it's like in a very controlled environment. This is just like potholes, bumpy roads, windy roads. We really is. So we're gonna have quite an in-depth comparison.
Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa. This is CII Radio Live.
So it was basically what the Proton and the Proton X50 versus the Mazda CX30. Right. So CX30 and CX3. Wow, what's the difference?
So the CX3 is basically like an SUV of the Mazda 3. Right. CX slots in between your CX-3 and your CX-5, right? It's got a little bit, I wouldn't say more of a wheelbase. You could say, you know, slightly bigger.
Yeah.
It has a slightly elevated ground clearance, maybe I think it's about 150 millimeters.
I think that's kind of like in fashion at the moment. Like yeah. Ground clearance is the new sunroof, I guess. Yeah.
So we can call the CX-3 a subcompact crossover,
yes.
Whereas the CX-30 is a crossover.
Okay.
So that would compete with your Proton X50,
yes.
Maybe your Taygo, VW Taygo.
Yes.
That range.
Okay, cool. So it was a very interesting test. I think we both derived very different, thoughts, and you really see a vehicle for what it's made for and just testing in like a practical scenario. So that's, inshallah, next week's episode.
Inshallah.
Our bumper to bumper road trip to Paris, which is a very beautiful like road trip place to get to.
Yeah.
If you're in Johannesburg, Paris is such a nice place to like go like a Sunday morning drive. I'm not sure if a lot of listeners are even from there. I mean, there's Poch, there's Klerksdorp. And also, like I'm saying, Joburg, there's so much to do, like more call it outdoorsy stuff, a lot of hiking trails, a lot of river rafting. I mean, the Vaal River runs through there, so there's a lot to do. But we'll definitely chat about that next week. But for now, you said you're driving a Scorpio N, right? What do you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I had it last year. Somehow managed to get it again this year, alhamdulillah.
So I don't know if you should go like very in-depth because I'm getting it first week of March.
So then we'd rather wait for you.
Okay.
Okay.
And so mine is... Scorpio.
What are you driving? What are you driving at the moment?
So I had the Proton X50.
Right.
Left today. I've got the Clio, the Renault Clio.
You can drive manual.
I had to do a little bit of a refresher course, right? But this car, like, seriously surprised me. And you know what surprised me the most? The fuel consumption. I was driving back from Joburg last night on the highway, and no lies, I'm not sure if it's accurate or how accurate it is, but the reading literally said 2.3 liters per 100.
Okay, was it while you were driving?
While I was driving.
That's not the average. That's just... While you
know the
driving.
Constant, right? The constant 100%. But like I'm saying, I stuck at about 100 kilometers per hour for like a few kilometers, and it basically ranged from like, call it 2.3 till about 3.8. But it like didn't go into 4 liters per 100, like ever.
And what's your average so far?
My average was 6.9.
Yeah. You can get it down further. I'll show you. No, that is a very nice. I really enjoyed it. The reason, obviously, because I love manual. That's the first
thing. Yeah, you're a fan. I used to be a fan, but unless it's like an older gen.
They're so scarce now, is that, you know.
The reason why they're so scarce, I mean.
Because people can't drive.
No, it's not that. Let me tell you, automatics now are just so, they just do everything so perfectly. There's no reason. Like, what is the reason to change gears?
There's no romance anymore in changing the gears.
I promise you, a manual works amazing.
And this does.
It does, you're right. Is there an automatic in this?
No, it didn't bring. Okay. So that is one of the reasons why you might even get this car for a second time if you're lucky.
Okay.
Because there's not a lot of journalists out there. Well, not journalists, you know, these influencers. They drive manual.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, it's funny that you say it was actually a last minute vehicle. So how I ended up getting this car, I was supposed to get the Chery Tiggo 8 Pro Max. It's a mouthful. But that vehicle wasn't fleeted yet. So instead, the nice guys at Talk the Talk said, listen, we've got a Renault Clio. Are you interested? I was like, okay, cool. I haven't driven it. Let's see what it's about. But, you know, just talking about Renault, I think they make some really outstanding models, the Duster being one of it. And I know it's not common, and I know you're going to lose a lot of money on resale, but I think the Renault Megane is a very good-looking car. It's like a hatchback, like, if that makes sense.
I actually saw a Renault Megane RS Trophy now, okay. Like an orange, like a burnt orange.
Yellow. No, so it's like a needy yellow, right?
No, this one is more of an orange.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks...
I love it. So I won't lie to you. And they lost it a little bit with the new one. Like, I feel it's too tame to be an RS Trophy. RS Trophies were always, like, very track-focused. So I don't know if you've ever driven the older one.
I think I did.
So, firstly, you only got
which
it
in... Which generation are you talking about?
It's the
previous generation, yeah.
Right? So you only got it in menu.
Yeah.
It was available in that yellow, the Renault yellow.
Oh, black. You're talking about the yellow. Yeah. No, this is in different color.
Okay. So I love that yellow.
No, the yellow.
It's probably the nicest tone of yellow ever.
With a checkered,
yes, yeah. So good. So you got it in a yellow. I think you got it in a black and a white. That was it.
Yeah.
Right? And the vehicle was only available in a manual. And it was crazy because if you ever drove the car and you put it into like sport mode, firstly, they had like an acrobatic exhaust system, which did like all the pops and bangs, yeah. And all of it was amazing. They had limited stuff, which was also great. Even though it was trying to drive, it didn't feel like very heavy, understeering. And what was crazy about the car is when it's in sport mode, it gives up these pop-ups, like, you know, on the screen. Like ways to improve your track time. And, you know, if you basically,
yeah.
If you stop the car, there's literally a thing that says, like, you've been running the car and what you need to do is not use the handbrake because you walk the discs because it's hard.
Yeah.
So it was like a very, very track-orientated car. It's not a daily. I don't think it is. I think there was an option for a roll cage in some of them, but it was really nice. Yeah. Ricardo interior.
But Renault make good cars. I just, their B category just, you know, the Quid, Triber and Kiga. I don't know.
Yeah, those three is, and I know how you feel about the Kiga. I know that. I haven't actually driven like the new Quid. The first ones were junk. I mean, I think they've come a long way. But really,
I mean, they're serving a market, but I think they could do better.
But what do you think? Is it like a quality do better? Is it a more like innovative features? Is it the way the car feels? Like, when you say do better, what do you mean?
Like, we know Renault, the performance, we know the quality. I mean, you're driving the Clio now, and that's a Renault. Yes. You know you're driving a Renault. Somehow, when you're driving especially the Kiga, it's a little bit of the Triber as well. You feel like you're not driving a Renault. You know, you can stick any other badge on there and you won't even know the difference. Mm-hmm. And Citroën did the same thing where they outsourced to India with their new C3. And I felt also it lost that French flair.
I agree. Yes. Okay, so I can relate to what you're saying and I do agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, so
we agree. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
But how is the traffic now? Driving in Gauteng, just beware. There's
so
heavy storms.
I was on the N1 headed north, maybe an hour or so ago. It was already like it was a mess. There was accidents on the road, it was raining, and then you were late for that exact reason. And Ziad is very punctual. Like, Ziad, you've always been, like, I'm the one that's always late. And when you said that, I knew it was the traffic. Like, it's firstly, it's like a whole lot of things that compound, right? It's firstly January, it's month end, it's the first Friday month end, and the rain, and there was quite a great accident on the road as well.
Yeah, there was on the, I don't know if you saw the one in N1 South you're talking about.
Yeah, that was a little while
just
ago.
Just after Sam Rants. Yeah. And then on the N1 North, there's obviously the rubbernecking. So people are slowing down just to see what happened, and then that just, and I think that delay, also the rain started coming down, and there was hail, and the rain was just hitting really, really hard. You couldn't see in front of you. There's absolutely no visibility. Your hazards on, people went on the shoulder and just sat there. I needed to come through, so I just soldiered on in the Scorpio Inn.
Yeah.
But alhamdulillah, we made it. But just be careful, drive safely. The roads are wet. There's obviously flash flooding as well that comes with that. So, yeah.
But we're going to go for an air break soon, right? But just not to get into too much detail, just to, so I know what to expect. What are your, in, like your, just your first thoughts on the Scorpio?
So on the Scorpio itself, I feel that it's very much like the pickup, right? But in an SUV.
So like more rugged.
Yeah. It's not your city SUV.
So can I tell you something? Okay, fine. This doesn't apply to an SUV. But I miss the days where Bakis felt like Bakis. Like, you know, where they drove like a Bakis.
Yeah.
It was a very different, like, if you're thinking of Bakis in the 90s compared to Bakis now. A Baki now, the only thing that distinguishes it is the bit. Ride characteristics, handling characteristics. It's like a car.
But it's like you're saying, you automatic does everything. You know,
okay,
it's the same thing. So now those are now luxury double cabs, they call it.
Yes.
But if you want a Baki, get a Mahindra double cab Karoo pickup, and that's the Baki that you're looking
what
at.
What engines are you coming? It's a 2.5.
It's a 2.2 liter.
And does it drive nice?
Yeah, it's nice. So this is also a 4x4. They call it a 4 Explore.
Okay.
So that's why
it's capable, also like proper.
Yeah, and the pickup Karoo is also. So it's like proper.
Okay.
Can do all the different terrains and everything. And I mean, in Asia they use it a lot.
Yeah, I know in India, in Pakistan, it's like, you know, wherever there's those like mountain passes and stuff, they use mainly.
Yeah. They don't drive Fortuners. And
they do. India love Fortuners.
No, but this is like, it's a very common.
Is it?
Very, yeah.
Okay. So let's go for a quick air break. When we get back, it was a very exciting because we got a question from a listener.
Yes,
so
we did.
Let's dissect it. But when we come back, let's go for an air break now.
From our headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, to the rest of Africa, this is CII Radio Live.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. What are we talking about?
So, remember we said that we were very excited this week because we had a listener. I don't know if it's more exciting because there's actually listeners, or we had our first question.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know the exact wording because I know you left me with that job of printing it out, but I honestly forgot. But I remember the question because we were discussing it. But
So basically last week we were talking, it was our back to school edition.
Yes.
Where we spoke about new cars, getting a new car, you're moving to campus, and we spoke about all the cars under 250,000.
Mm-hmm. That was okay.
And one of the listeners said that their child is going to campus, well, next month. And obviously, things are tight. They can't afford a new car. But they are looking at the option of sending their child via Uber, okay, to pick them up and drop them. And they want to know from us and obviously the listeners as well, what are your feelings about Uber, obviously sending a young child, whether it's a male or female, I'm not sure, they didn't mention, but to campus, is it safe? What should you look out for? And yeah, that's basically it. I'm not the expert on e-hailing services, Uber or Bolt. I know Brother Jamil is quite a favorite with them.
Yeah, I use Uber quite a bit. Bolt, they can sometimes embarrass you. I'm not going to lie to you. Not that it's, I mean, it's a problem, but, you know, they play on technicalities, these guys. They'll say, for example, it's a Ford Figo. So, that's a very reasonable car to pitch up for a meeting in. Let me tell you, I've heard it where there was three different wheel caps or rims on a car. Literally, the door handle was like a nail. It was hectic. Then the cars are like dirty. Like, when you get out of the car, you're like dusting your pants off. And like, it's really like Uber still, there's like a bit of a standard. I think guys are also pushing the limits a little bit. But there's a standard, you know, they try and keep it where your vehicle must be this age, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I don't mind the Uber. Eh?
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell us about the, like, experience. Like, how does it work?
So, generally, I find, like, Uber is a very weird thing. Or just e-hailing. You must remember something. As much as we're holding a company, like, liable or to account, every driver is a different person, a different experience. From his mannerisms or her mannerisms to the way they drive. It all adds to this, like, big experience, right? From the time you get into the car, I mean, you get guys who have like no aircon on the car. It can be 36 degrees. This guy is just like saving fuel and there's no aircon, right? Then you get guys who are like ultra talkative. Then you get guys who are like, you get in there and the radio is just like on some channel. I don't know, not CI. And it's just like going on, you know? And it really does. I think personally, what I value is just like being polite. I think as a driver, I've met some brilliant guys, like literally, like, you know, where we kind of like went in depth about like the whole Uber system and how it works for them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But really, it just depends. I think it's a very unfair thing to be like, how was your experience on Uber? Because Uber is represented by thousands of different people like on a daily.
Okay, and can you not request the same driver again?
So, no, you can't. So what happens is it works off an app. You say, okay, I want to go from ABC point A to point B. Put in your points, and this job in inverted commas basically gets put into a pool of available drivers within your area, and from there they can select. Can obviously decline someone, but generally, I mean, the first person that's available for me, that's how I choose it, the closest person. So today, for example, I waited for 7 minutes for my driver to arrive at Proton to collect me. But in general, I mean, it's like a 2 minute situation, especially if you're like in the metropolitan things, like or in Joburg, Pretoria. If you're around mainland, you'll find an Uber within 1 minute. Like, you'll get you. Airport is the situation, both airports, eh? And most areas in Johannesburg, same story. But really, you meet the people behind Uber, and it's amazing stories. It's amazing, you know, like what people do to get there and how they started. I mean, you get like some people who are like almost 400. Like, oh, I was retrenched and I took my money and I just bought this boat. I'm driving this car and I'm, you know, running three others, and I've got people. So really, it's a different situation.
And then when you get into the car, are there checks that you do, or you just jump in the car
while you... Yeah, I'm not going to lie. My... I'll get in. I always jump in the back. No? I jump in the back to make sure that before he leaves, I know that the door can unlock. I think I watched like a YouTube video like years ago. So I'll always get in, close the door, see that it opens, and then get in.
Okay.
Have you never taken?
I've taken with somebody else. I've never like actually, you know, like
that's what it's called, eh? You order Uber.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That told me that to use an Uber than for him to buy a car. So he used Uber to work. Don't let the manufacturers hear this. But basically, about from his place home to his office, it was cheaper for him to have an Uber pick him up and drop him every day and wherever else he needed to, because in terms of the installment on a car, on a decent car, the insurance and, you know, maintenance and whatever it is that goes with it, and obviously.
So let me tell you, right, that would make a lot of sense if all you do with your vehicle is leave your house and go. But what happens at night if there's an emergency? What happens if on the weekend you need to go and visit relatives in Ermelo or attend a funeral, a wedding, or like, are you going to Uber to a wedding in Roshni?
But you just said now they come in like 1 minute, so even if it's an emergency.
Oh, then you just get an Uber Black for a wedding.
So, okay, so tell us about the different options now. You're talking about Uber Black. I don't know what's okay. Uber Black and Uber Pool and all these things.
So basically, I can't remember the exact ones, right? But there's Uber Go, which is like the cheap version. Like it's small cars, it's that kind of thing. Uber Black is more like, you know, a 3 Series, A4, C-Class kind of
Uber what?
Black, it's called.
Black, yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit more premium. You'll notice it with the drivers as well. Better dressed, like a little bit more, you know, formal, as if I can use that word. And you can expect like a C-Class. You can expect the 3 Series, maybe an A4, those kind of vehicles. Then you get like a Uber Delivery, which is pretty cool. I think it's for package or something, but you can send a package like immediately. Like the guy, like, you know, like normally, like generally a courier, you take it, they take your parcel, and they give you a depot, and then the next day it gets moved. Excuse me. This is literally like having your younger brother come to your house, pick up your parcel, and go and drop it wherever you need to.
So it's nani.
Yeah. So you can send masalas, you can send spices, rusks, biscuits, whatever it is. And the prices are not bad, because a lot of times I look at it like in a business setting, it's cheaper for us to send Uber than for me to say, let's send one of our drivers.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. We sent a package. There was an event that was happening near Rustenburg. We sent a package for like 260 rand. Big box. Now, I mean, think about it. If firstly, your driver is out, it's your vehicle, where the fuel and toll gates. It was crazy. I was like, how is it this price? Like, you know.
260 to Rustenburg. So you jump in with the bike package.
No. Yeah, so there's all of these different options. And I don't know if it's Bolt or Uber, but if you are a female, like you have a profile of a female, you can request a female driver.
Okay. I have seen some that only have female drivers. Okay. I think it's called InDrive or something. Not InDrive? No. Okay. I'm not sure what it's called.
I didn't remember.
Yeah.
So they only service female clients.
Apparently. You know, like a first for women insurance,
yes.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but talking price, what's like the average price? Like, give me a ballpark figure.
I don't know what it is per kilometer, but let me give you an example just today, right? My trip for two of us from Midrand, meaning CMH in Midrand, they're on New Road, to the other end of Bryanston, cost me 156.
So you pay per trip or per person?
Per trip.
Per trip. As many people as you want.
You can have as many people as you want. And another thing is, you can share it. So let's say we're both traveling. You can literally say that you want to split the cost with me.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. And then there's been this thing where you need to check the boot, because apparently, like, but you don't check the boot.
I don't.
Okay.
It's not good.
Okay.
Right? Like,
but why check the boot?
So there has been a lot of incidents. People were kidnapped and held at ransom and just, you know, like their possessions stolen and stuff. So I think that's just ways to kind of show about it.
Okay. So one of the things that I did see was that Bolt now has this option. So a lot of the guys in Bolt, because you said Bolt sounds a little bit more shadier than Uber.
I think they're a bit more lenient.
Okay. But apparently, a lot of the guys are saying that they're offline, right? Okay. And they obviously charge whatever fee they want to because it's not through the app. And Bolt has tried to obviously change the app where, you know, because for safety purposes, if they're offline, this is my understanding, if they're offline, you don't get like the data of where they are, you know, all these type of things, like for security reasons. And they obviously don't log the trip or whatever. And they basically, what they've done is, before you get into the vehicle, if this guy tells you that they're offline, you can cancel it immediately.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, like after the thing, writing a complaint or whatever it is. So that's some new features that Bob, the app apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting.
Do Uber have something similar?
I would assume like Uber is international, they're a big company, but I don't know like the full workings, you know. And I think Uber also gave rise to a lot of smaller ones, because I think Cape Town has their own one. There's a few. Eastern Cape that handles there. And there's actually one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're based in Polokwane, right? You fill in a driver profile, and it hears everything, literally everything about you. When you get in your favorite radio station while we play, they'll offer you like water, like peanuts and raisins. Like, okay. It's really nice.
And Uber don't do that. No. I thought that they, you know, like put on your whatever music you want to. You know,
I mean, if you request like, it, but like, I mean, this is like just ultimate. Like, you get in and it's, I want this channel. Like,
yeah.
Okay. The drivers are all like very well dressed and uniformed. So I think they run quite a fleet, it's obviously a lot more. And just by the way, Uber Black is sometimes more than double the price of a normal Uber.
But you're saying that they drive fancy cars and they just. So is it like anywhere or is it in a specific area that they operate this Uber Black?
It's basically everywhere. I mean, you just need to see availability because that's what it is. So Uber actually, as a technicality, they operate everywhere. But it will all depend on if there is a driver available in your area.
Okay. So we'd like to know from the listeners as well. I mean, Brother Jamil's given us quite a breakdown. We hope that it has answered the question of whether Uber is the right option. But we'd also like to hear from the listeners about what's their experience, what do they think, do they have any stories. Send us a message or give us a... Yeah. Talking about that, you know, like driving these e-hailing services, obviously there's a risk involved. If something were to happen, what does one do? You know, like if you were hijacked or how?
I think it would go about like with any crime. I mean, there's no, I would suggest you reporting it to the provider. I mean, that would be, I think, the as far as it would go, but always you start with like your South African police and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure they need a case number.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Talking about the top hijack cars, do you know what is the top cars?
If I remember the order, but I guess and it's a Range Rover, right?
So, that is partly, but there's some new guys in the segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
One of them you'll be quite surprised with.
Is it Chinese manufacturers? Like, is it like a Valve?
No, so Toyota still holds the record.
The most hijacked.
Of the most hijacked.
Okay.
But yeah, so... At the top of the list is Fortuna, right? Then a Hilux.
Okay.
Then the two new entries are Corolla Cross and a RAV4.
Are you serious? A yes. Corolla Cross?
So because of the high sales in the Corolla Cross and the RAV4, there's been an increase in the hijack. Obviously, I mean, the more cars you have on the road, the more likely it is to be hijacked, you know, the percentage-wise.
Yes.
But Corolla Cross and RAV4 have really climbed in terms of hijackings.
So what number is it? Is it a number or are they in the top 10?
It's no specific order, okay. But these are the top seven.
Okay. So they're in the top seven?
Yeah.
So Toyota is what? Four of the top seven are Toyota.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But they're making the sales.
So. No, I get it. It's linked. But like, I mean, I guess the vehicles are very desired.
Yeah, so it's none of the Suzuki compatible vehicles. It's the Toyotas.
Okay.
Yeah.
No urban cruiser.
Then the VW Polo, obviously we know, the hatchback especially. So don't worry about the sedan. We know that a lot of e-hailing services do use those, even the Toyota ETRs.
Yes.
Those are not really. That's why I was asking you. You know, like what happens. But yeah, NP200 has seen a rise as well. And then obviously you have the Ford Ranger.
Yes.
What has also been quite high risk recently is the your Buckies, not the Buckies, the vans, like the H100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously you're looking at those, you know, that are carrying goods or whatever, and they're targeting those as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and in terms of the 10 highest hijacking hotspots in South Africa that you should definitely avoid, if you can.
Okay.
Okay, so this is not like, okay, somewhat of an order, but in Yanga in Cape Town, so this data is from Stats SA. It was done October 2022 to September 2023.
Right.
Okay, so for the year. They've got Inyanga is the highest, Harare also in Cape Town, right. Olivenhout Bosch here in Tshwane, mm-hmm. just down the road from you.
Yes. Will you drive past every Friday?
No, I don't come that way.
Oh.
Philippi East in Cape Town,
okay.
Ivory Park, Buruleni,
mm-hmm.
Midrand, Johannesburg.
Okay.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The six places Midrand, mm-hmm. very high. I think they had about over 200 hijackings in a year.
Right.
Umlazi in Durban, Itekwini.
Okay.
Tembisa. Right. Falls under like. Area, Pretoria West.
Okay, that's
where we are. Tshwane, and Khayelitsha in Cape Town.
Sure.
Yeah, but obviously, like this was done over a year period, so there were places that you know spiked during the year. So, say in quarter four, they were quite high. Feature the rest of the year. So this is just for the year. So okay. It's not to say that there are areas you have to be vigilant wherever you're driving.
Yes.
I mean, you say that it doesn't happen in this area, but these are like the highest, the hot spots basically.
Sure. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's an interesting article because we always told to kind of avoid certain areas and hijacking hotspot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess if you can avoid those areas and those vehicles.
Yeah. So talking about Toyota, actually, I don't know if you know, they had the SOMI, the State of Motoring Industry. They have it every year.
Okay.
They had their seventh one this year. And, they actually launched quite a few new vehicles.
Okay.
So one of them is the Land Cruiser 70 series, mm-hmm. which we spoke about last year.
Yes.
That will be coming in Feb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a facelift in the single cab, double cab, and station wagon.
Okay.
I don't know if the station wagon is coming to Africa, but there's a 2.8 GD6 engine.
Okay.
It's the new 6-speed auto, and it has an updated cabin with a new infotainment system.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a new Land Cruiser Prado, which we also spoke about last year.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning.
So that's coming in April. We've seen the design, the modular design, the almost like squarish look. Also 2.8 GD6 engine, but it's an 8-speed auto. And yeah, so that's the Land Cruiser Prado. We've got the new Toyota Hilux, 48-volt. Yes, so that's the mild hybrid.
Yes.
So they say it adds about 12 kilowatts of power and 65 newton meters of torque through the motor generated to the engine.
Okay.
And then obviously there's regenerative braking. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like your Corolla Cross hybrid type thing, advanced stop and start, idle speed reduced to 600 RPM. So it's good for off-roading and improve acceleration and fuel efficiency. So that's something interesting to see, a hybrid Bucky. We haven't had a hybrid Bucky.
No.
It's the first hybrid Bucky that we'll see. It's from Toyota, the Hilux.
Yeah. And then another thing, I don't know if you saw in the news, or motoring news, that is, the Jeep Wrangler Rubicon.
Oh, yes.
It won the best family SUV for off-roading, right?
Yeah.
What other car would compete in that? Like, what is a family off-roading SUV?
Defender.
And a Grand Cherokee, isn't it?
Probably.
Okay. Well, what else would be, like, off-road focused? Like, okay, this is hardcore off-road focused.
I mean, you can put, like, your Everest in there. It's a off-roader.
Yes.
The Scorpio is an off-roader.
Okay, yeah. I guess a Fortuna, then, if we're going for those ones.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Okay.
The other things that Toyota also launched, which is quite exciting, is the Toyota BZ4X. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. What is
it? It's called BZ because it's, I think, beyond zero.
Okay.
It's going to be the first battery EV, the BEV from Toyota.
Okay.
It's going to come in 2025. Mm-hmm. It's got like a almost like, I don't know, like your 86 type platform together with a Supra, you know, that type of.
Okay, so it's a sporty car.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But it's a electric vehicle. And they kilometer range on it for the most economical.
Okay.
There's a Lexus RZ also, similar BEV, and the Hilux GRS 3 is coming out. Talking about the Hilux GRS, did you see the Dakar?
I've seen the news around it. I haven't been following it. I really would like to.
So it was quite exciting because I spoke about it in the first episode of this year, because obviously it stopped. And then it ended last week. And Kevin Benavides won the Dakar.
Okay.
But also, Carlos Sainz won. He, Kevin Bernardes, was first in the stage, in the last stage. Carlos Sainz won the overall thing. And we had Guy Botterill. He is South African. He came sixth.
Okay.
Yeah, in the Toyota Gazoo Racing. But also,
how did
Saud Varyawa. He came 17th overall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he's South African.
Yeah. And he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was
so quite Dakar nice. is like, oh, it's a very, very testing
race. It's an endurance.
Race. Yeah. Like literally, but on the driver and the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because your vehicle gets hammered. I mean, did you see those wheels that like literally snap off and things? It's really a proving ground and a lot of, I think, R&D happen there.
No, they have to. I mean, they always testing out new
paths. Doing amazing in Dakar. Before, I don't know if you remember, but it used to always be a spot that was kind of dominated by Pajero.
Yes.
And, like, I mean, they did very well, but now, like, GR is doing amazing.
No, they are. But Nasser Al-Attiyah has left them.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep players still left. Yeah.
But, so I'm not so clued up on Dakar, eh? Like, on... Yeah, are you a fan? Are you?
I check it out. I'm not. I don't go through all the paces, like all the stages, but I do. You know, like there's articles that I do and stuff. So I obviously have to check up what's happening. And yeah,
what is your favorite form of motor racing?
Sure, it's tough. I'm gonna go with F1.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I like any form of motor racing. Like, I can't say there's one specific one that, like, really stands out for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, your Simola Hill Climb entries are ending this week. So anybody that wants to enter in the Simola Hill Climb, they have till the 31st, or sponsor us, they have till the 31st of January to get your entries in. Yeah.
So you'd say F1 is your favorite, though?
Yeah, what do you say?
Yeah, okay, I'd also go with F1, but I also like MotoGP.
Is it?
Yeah, it's amazing. But even just watching
it, really. Is it because of checkers?
Yeah. It's because
has checkers. Yeah, has checkers made you a fan?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, seriously, like MotoGP is again... like, you know, it's such a physical sport. It's such a mental sport. It's so much of skill. It's the vehicle.
You know what's skill, though, in MotoGP?
Yeah.
The photographers. To get those photographs the way that they do, I think that takes a lot of skill. If you see Valentino Rossi and you get a picture of him actually in action, not photoshopped or not, you know, enhanced.
Is it not a GoPro or a 360 cam that gets...
No, there's some photographers that are really good. You know, they actually focus, especially like in the Dakar as well. You know, like any like cross rally or whatever type sport, any motorsport really. They actually focus on that. They don't do any other type of photography besides motorsport.
Yeah.
And you have to be like in a real zone to get this. So if you can get one, I'll be proud of you.
If I could get one?
Of any driver in a MotoGP.
Okay.
In action.
Yeah. So like knee down type of thing.
Yeah.
I'll definitely try it.
Oh, well. Okay. Yeah.
But it's, did you ever see a form of racing where they literally race trucks, but it's like the horse only, like no trailer?
I think I've seen.
It's like,
but like, you mean like those ones where they knock each other, or the figure of eight ones?
No, it's like you know, like if you're looking at like picture Mercedes-Benz Actros.
Oh, you mean those like rally, like not a rally, but like...
It's a race, like on a racetrack with trucks, like massive trucks.
But you know, they actually, that's how they test out these things, even the buses. Have you seen them test out the buses?
No, but what I have seen was them driving these buses and trucks without the body from Durban. Have you ever seen
that? Yeah, I've seen
it. It's like the guy wears a helmet in. As a kid, that was like the funniest thing. Like, you know, because you know, you always had that one truck as a kid where it broke and the body literally came across, and you're like,
That's it. He's driving that truck. But it was quite cool. You know what I actually saw the other day is a EV6.
Kia EV6. I saw it
on the.
Doesn't that make like 1,000 horsepower or something?
No, it was like 480 or something.
Okay.
But I don't know if this guy knew I was videoing him or he was just driving really fast, but I couldn't keep up with him. Okay. I posted a video of it on YouTube, but he was too fast to keep up with.
Okay.
Yeah. But that was quite a nice spot. Yeah.
I've never seen one.
I've only seen this one. And the registration is EV6GP. So I think it's the only one in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Do you know, just talking about registration before we go, I saw one of the new
ZM Place. Yeah, I also saw one today.
You know, you have to really look at it because the
it's
colors,
blue also.
It's exactly, it just gets you like immediately. You think it's a GP, but you're like, whoa, what's going on here?
It looks weird though.
It looks very weird. Like,
they could have kept the green and white that they had on the personalized number plate.
I don't like you. I honestly think cutting it, like always, that blue and white was just so neat and nice. So yeah, it's fine.
No, but I think for them, they should have kept the, you know, they had personalized number plates with the green and the white background. I think that that could have gone throughout. But yeah, it looks just like a GP plate.
Okay. No, but anyway, Ziad, as always, it's an absolute pleasure seeing you and doing the show with you. And please, if anyone has any queries or questions, they can do we have an email address?
They can get us on social media. So yeah. B2BCII.
Just drop us a DM with any question you have or comment regarding the show or what you'd like to see. And we'll be able to discuss it in the next show.
Yeah, until next week, have a safe week. Drive safely because the roads are a mess at the moment. Remember everyone in your du'as, and we'll chat next week, inshallah.
Sure.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Live from Africa and to the rest of the world, this is CII Radio, independent, authentic, and dedicated to you.